So what if I told you that right now there's a high school teacher in Tokyo who is just, casually collecting monthly rent from a massive commercial high-rise in Austin, Texas?
Right, and doing it without ever signing a traditional mortgage.
Exactly. No mortgage, no paying for a massive title search, and definitely not dealing with like a broken elevator at 2 in the morning.
It's wild because it completely upends our entire traditional understanding of real estate. I mean, for generations,
Well,
right?
yeah, absolutely.
Building wealth through property always meant securing massive leverage from a bank, hoarding all this capital for a down payment, and taking on the intense physical liability of a local building.
And that incredibly high barrier to entry is exactly why we are jumping into this topic today. Welcome to today's deep dive, where we are pulling our insights from this really comprehensive breakdown called The Investor's Guide to Tokenized Real Estate Rental Yield.
It's a great piece.
It really is. And our mission today for you, the listener, is to decode the actual mechanics of this tokenized property income. We want to understand how blockchain technology is, colliding with brick and mortar real estate.
Right.
And more importantly, figure out if this hands-off approach to generating yield is actually a viable strategy for you, or if it's just another layer of decentralized hype.
Yeah, and my goal today is to really strip away the crypto jargon, right? Just look strictly at the practical mathematical realities of this whole ecosystem.
Please do.
Because honestly, no matter how elegant your smart contract is, an investment still has to survive the physical realities of the housing market.
Yeah, and I am coming into this with a healthy dose of skepticism, I have to admit.
That's fair.
The idea that just holding a digital token on your phone magically generates cash because a real person is paying rent in a physical building. I mean, it
Well,
sounds almost too frictionless,
it does sound like magic at first glance.
Right. So, okay, let's unpack this. How does a physical building legally, and I guess technically, translate into digital income? Like, how does that actually work?
Well, what's fascinating here is the legal bridge between the blockchain and the actual physical deed.
Okay.
Because you aren't actually holding a digital representation of a brick or a door.
Wait, I'm not?
No. What happens is a platform creates a special purpose vehicle, an SPV.
Okay, an SPD.
Yeah, usually it's just an LLC.
Yeah.
And that legal entity is what actually buys the physical building.
Oh, I see.
Then the platform tokenizes the shares of that specific LLC. So when you hold a token, you hold a legally binding economic right to the net revenue generated by that corporate entity.
Okay, so it's like buying a single brick in a massive apartment building, but legally, that specific brick entitles you to a tiny slice of the monthly rent check.
Exactly. You own the economic rights.
So the platform isn't just like minting infinite tokens into the
Oh, it
void.
is definitely
The
not.
token supply is hard capped, right? Like directly correlated to the equity of that specific LLC.
Exactly. Which means the yield is entirely dictated by real-world rental performance, not by the, speculative trading volume of the token itself.
Right.
To look at the math, just imagine the SPV holds a property that generates exactly $50,000 annually in net rental income.
Okay, 50 grand clear.
Right. If the platform issued a hard cap of 1,000 tokens for that property, just basic division dictates each token represents exactly $50 in annual income.
Okay, yeah, $50 a token.
So if you hold 20 tokens, your proportional share is $1,000 a year.
That makes the economic distribution super clear, but it creates a massive logistical friction point for me.
How so?
Well, tenants do not pay their rent in Ethereum or Bitcoin.
Yeah, they do.
They pay in literal dollars. So how does fiat currency, physically written on a check or, wired from a local bank account, miraculously appear as crypto yield in my digital wallet? Because someone has to be doing that conversion behind the scenes. Wait, if I own the token, what happens when a pipe bursts? Am I, the digital fractional owner, expected to log off Twitter and call a plumber?
No, thankfully not. That conversion process is the core operational workflow that makes the whole system viable. It happens in a very strict, multi-step sequence. Step one relies entirely on traditional boots-on-the-ground management.
Gotcha.
The physical tenant pays their fiat rent to a professional property management company. This manager is local to the property.
Okay, so a real company.
Yeah, they collect the funds. And they are the ones answering the phone when the plumbing fails at 3 a.m.
Okay, so they handle the real-world friction. But wait, if I own a fraction of this building, who is auditing that property manager?
That's a great question.
Like, if the manager decides to overcharge the LLC for a routine plumbing repair, I have absolutely zero voting power to dispute that, right? Am I just trusting a centralized platform to protect my margins?
You are, and you're identifying the primary trade-off of this entire model right there.
Yeah.
You are surrendering operational control in exchange for operational passivity.
That's a good way to put it.
The property manager deducts all physical costs from that fiat rent pool. We're talking maintenance, local property taxes, and of course their own management fee.
Right.
Those deductions happen locally in fiat currency before a single cent ever hits the blockchain.
Ah, okay. So only the net operating profit makes it out alive.
Correct. The property manager wires that final net profit to the tokenization platform's treasury.
Okay, now we're getting to the digital side.
Exactly. This is where the digital bridge is crossed. The platform takes that fiat, converts it into a stable coin, typically something pegged to the U.S. dollar like USDC, and feeds it into a smart contract.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then the smart contract automatically queries the blockchain, identifies every single wallet address holding the specific property tokens, and instantly airdrops the stablecoin yield proportional to their holdings.
That is wild. So you, the end user, just log into a digital dashboard, look at your monthly or quarterly yield, and you can just reinvest or withdraw it with a single click.
Yep. It's that easy.
I mean, it's basically the cash flow of real estate without the midnight maintenance calls. But it is heavily reliant on the integrity of that centralized platform managing the fiat to crypto gateway.
Very heavily. It is a streamlined pipeline. But as you pointed out, it requires absolute trust in the auditing and vetting processes of the platform issuing the tokens.
Which means we need a reality check.
We do.
Because if you are surrendering control to an automated pipeline, you are entirely at the mercy of real-world physics. Here's where it gets really interesting. A digital token can effectively suffer from water damage.
Yes.
Or tenant abandonment, you know. Mm-hmm. The digital wrapper doesn't protect the asset from the elements.
Not at all. The physical vulnerabilities remain completely intact. The variables that eat into your yield are identical to traditional real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Property location determines demand. Broader macroeconomic conditions dictate what the local market can actually tolerate for rent prices.
Makes sense.
And physical maintenance costs directly subtract from your digital payout. But the single most volatile factor affecting your token's performance by far is the occupancy rate.
Vacancies.
Exactly. Stable tenant occupancy is the engine of this entire system. Looking at the data models from the source, the sensitivity to a vacant unit is severe.
Let's hear it.
Let's return to our baseline property generating $50,000 in annual net rent, which represents a 5% yield for the token holders.
Okay, I'm with you.
That model relies on 100% occupancy rate.
Which means every single room is rented 12 months a year, no gaps.
Right, which is rare. But if occupancy drops to 90%, that annual net rent doesn't just dip a little. It falls to $45,000, pulling your overall yield down to 4.5%.
Ouch. And if it drops to 80% occupancy,
the net rent plummets to $40,000.
Wow.
Leave you with a 4% yield.
Wait, so a 20% drop in occupancy effectively wipes out a full 20% of your profit margin.
Because the fixed costs don't scale down.
Oh, right.
A building at 80% capacity still pays 100% of its property tax.
Right. The county doesn't care.
Exactly. The roof still requires the exact same maintenance budget. And this highlights a critical baseline assumption. You have to accept tokenized returns are never guaranteed.
Never.
The blockchain can automate the accounting flawlessly, but it absolutely cannot algorithmically generate a reliable tenant.
Yeah, you can't code a good tenant. And if the underlying asset is still totally exposed to leaky roofs, terrible tenants, and local tax hikes, it brings up the ultimate comparison.
Which is?
Why bother adding the crypto layer at all? I mean, why not just secure a mortgage and buy an investment property the old-fashioned way?
Well, we connect this to the bigger picture. Both models rely on the exact same underlying asset performance.
Right.
But tokenization fundamentally alters the barriers to entry, the administrative burden, and the liquidity profile.
You know, I tend to look at the traditional versus tokenized debate like this. Traditional real estate is essentially a grueling DIY home renovation project.
Yeah.
You have absolute granular control over everything from the tenant screening to the kitchen backsplash, but it completely takes over your life.
It becomes a second job.
Exactly. Whereas tokenized real estate is more like a digital subscription box.
Oh, I like that.
Right. It is incredibly easy. The yield just shows up on your dashboard, but you are completely along for the ride. You don't get to pick the paint colors.
That analogy perfectly captures the shift in management style. Traditional property investment requires an immense expenditure of personal time and, of course, a massive initial capital outlay.
Yeah, tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars just to close.
Exactly. Tokenization democratizes the asset class. Because you are buying fractional shares of an SPV, the minimum investment can literally be the cost of a nice dinner.
Wow. But the trade-off that really concerns me is liquidity.
Let's talk about it.
The promise of crypto, right, is that I can trade in and out of positions instantly. I can sell Bitcoin on an exchange at 2 a.m. on a Sunday.
Yeah.
But these tokens aren't Bitcoin.
No, they are security tokens tied to highly illiquid physical assets.
So if I need to liquidate my real estate tokens, I can't just dump them on a massive global exchange like Binance or Coinbase.
Nope, you have to rely on the tokenization platform's proprietary secondary market.
Right, their own little ecosystem. But if the platform loses user volume, or worse, what if it goes bankrupt? What happens to my liquidity then?
Well, if the platform shuts down, the underlying LLC still legally owns the building, and you still legally own your shares of the LLC.
Okay, so I don't lose the building.
You wouldn't lose the asset, no. However, your liquidity would instantly freeze.
Yikes.
You would lose the secondary market matching engine. Tokenized real estate offers potentially higher liquidity than traditional real estate, where, selling a physical house takes months of staging, inspections, and escrow.
The worst.
Right. But that digital liquidity is entirely conditional on the platform's volume. It is a closed-loop ecosystem.
So it's faster than selling a physical house, provided someone else on the dashboard actually wants to buy your digital fraction of a Texas commercial building today.
Exactly, which is why understanding your personal investment timeline is just so crucial.
Yeah, so let's pivot to that. We have broken down the legal bridge, the fiat to crypto pipeline, and the very real physical risks. The final variable to solve is figuring out exactly who should be allocating their capital into this space.
Right.
I want to pose a direct question to you, the listener, based on the current market data. A well-performing tokenized rental property might generate a 4 to 6% net annual return.
Which is considered a good yield in this space.
Right. So does a 4 to 6% yield excite you, or does it sound incredibly boring? So what does this all mean for portfolio strategy? Who is this actually for?
That yield target is the ultimate filter. If you are approaching this expecting explosive short-term cryptocurrency returns like meme coin numbers, this asset class will thoroughly disappoint you.
Yeah, don't expect 100x here.
No. The technology is fast, but the underlying asset operates on a 30-day human billing cycle.
Right. People only pay rent once a month.
Exactly. However, if you are measuring that 4 to 6% against the volatility of the stock market, or comparing it to the inflation-adjusted returns of a standard savings account,
Then property-backed cash flow becomes highly attractive.
very attractive,
Yeah.
especially for first-time investors with smaller amounts of capital.
It also seems like an ideal tool for geographic diversification. Like if you have $50,000 to invest in real estate traditionally, you are locked into putting a down payment on one single property.
In one specific neighborhood.
Right. Totally exposed to one local economy. If that town loses its biggest employer, you're toast.
But tokenization allows you to take that exact same $50,000 and distribute it across fractional shares of 20 different properties.
Wow, yeah.
You could hold a slice of a residential complex in Florida, an industrial warehouse in Ohio, and a retail space in Arizona.
That's incredible.
You are instantly spreading your localized risk while maintaining exposure to the broader real estate market.
It also provides a fascinating anchor for investors who are heavily weighted in digital assets.
Yes, the crypto natives.
Right. If someone has built wealth exclusively in highly volatile Web3 tokens, this offers a mechanism to tether some of that wealth to tangible physical income without ever having to off-ramp out of the blockchain ecosystem.
Exactly. It creates a closed-loop wealth-building strategy for the digitally native investor. It also perfectly serves the busy professional, someone who demands exposure to real estate cash flow, but flat out refuses to take on the secondary career of being a landlord.
But to be crystal clear, if you are a control freak, stay far away.
Oh, absolutely.
If your strategy relies on forcing appreciation,
Yeah.
buying a distressed property, managing the contractors, ripping out the carpets yourself, and aggressively raising the rent, this digital model completely locks you out of that value-add process.
Yeah, you are buying a passive economic right, not an active managerial right.
You are trading alpha for automation.
That's perfectly said.
So to bring all of these moving parts together, tokenized real estate rental yield is essentially a high-tech legal wrapper around the oldest wealth-building asset on the planet.
Yeah.
It bridges the frictionless, low-barrier convenience of digital assets with the tangible monthly cash flow of physical property. It allows you to become a decentralized landlord, but only if you are willing to accept that your digital margins are permanently tethered to the very physical realities of leaky pipes, local property taxes, and the undeniable necessity of finding reliable tenants.
Because the blockchain cannot patch a roof.
They really can't.
It is a remarkable innovation in accounting and accessibility, but it does not rewrite the fundamental laws of property management. And that structural shift brings up an implication that I think requires some deeper reflection.
Oh, where are we taking this?
Think about the absolute dissolution of geographic boundaries we just outlined earlier.
Okay.
If a tokenization platform allows a high school teacher in Tokyo and an overnight nurse in London to instantly, frictionlessly purchase shares of an apartment building in Austin, Texas, what happens to the social contract of renting?
Oh, wow. That is a wild premise to consider.
Because for centuries, the landlord-tenant relationship, even when it was fraught, was inherently localized.
Yeah, the owner lived nearby.
The property owner lived in the same city, drove on the same roads, and was at least somewhat accountable to the community standards of that neighborhood.
Right.
What happens when the quote-unquote landlord is no longer a local entity, but an algorithmic smart contract disposing yield to 10,000 anonymous disconnected wallets spread across the globe?
They become the ultimate absentee landlord.
Exactly.
The property is reduced entirely to a row on a spreadsheet, completely devoid of any localized human context. I mean, think about it. If the Austin property needs major renovations that might temporarily hurt the quarterly yield, it's hard to imagine 10,000 global token holders voting to lower their payouts for the sake of local community improvement.
It fundamentally changes the relationship between the physical human living in the building and the digital collective, who only perceive that human as a data point required to maintain a 5% yield dashboard.
Yeah.
The technology democratizes access to wealth, but it completely financializes the concept of a neighborhood.
We are literally replacing the Monopoly board with a global, decentralized ledger, and the social ramifications of that are just beginning to surface.
It's definitely something to think about.
It really is. Well, we want to thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the physical mechanics behind the digital hype. Remember to check your own blind spots, and we will catch you on the next one.